Praise the Lord. Dear friends, welcome to the meditation on Jesus of the Gospels. In our last meditation, we were reflecting on the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, that he began when John the Baptist was arrested. And he came to Galilee, filled with the power of the Spirit, and started proclaiming the good news. Now, we continue our reflection on this proclamation of Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, we have a synthesis of this proclamation of Jesus. First, we'll examine this and then we continue. Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." So this is the summary statement. Somehow, in very few words, Mark is giving us the gist of Jesus' proclamation. There are four words. And of these four words, two words are declarations and two words are invitations. The first two declarations. First, the time is fulfilled. Second, the kingdom of God has come near. Then the invitations, repent and believe in the good news. Now let us see a bit closer all these four words. First, it is said the time is fulfilled. The time of expectations. So fulfillment of the expectations. The time during which the whole people of Israel was waiting for something. The time about which the prophets had foretold, the time for which God was preparing from the call of Abraham onwards, that time, the time is now fulfilled. It's no more the time of expectation, it's a time of fulfillment. It is here and now. What you had been waiting for is now come. People who had been waiting for holidays, for example, abroad, who went to work and were waiting for the time to come home, so they'll be happy when finally the day arrives that they can come home. The time is fulfilled. It's something similar. The whole humanity had been waiting and waiting for a redeemer, waiting for liberation, waiting for happiness, waiting to be liberated from death, from sin, from sickness, from hardships, from all the evils. So everybody had been waiting for. We know our fathers in India, the rishis, had been praying and we still continue to pray. Asadoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amrutam Gamaya. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from falsehood to truth. Lead us from death to immortality, to life. So this waiting for life, waiting for light, waiting for happiness. Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. You don't have to wait anymore. It is here, the time of expectation. The time of waiting is over, fulfilled. And this is further clarified by another word. The kingdom of God has come near, is near. Is on the threshold. Egikein is the Greek word. It has come near. It is right at the threshold. Open the door and you see it. It is something like the first rays of the rising sun. You look to the east and you see the sun rising. You don't see the sun disk yet, but you see the first rays, the red rays coming up. You know it is already there. It has come. The dawn of the age of salvation. The dawn of the realization of your hopes. It is there. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what is nearby is God's kingdom. And what is this kingdom? The whole ministry of Jesus will be spent explaining by word and deed what that kingdom means. Kingdom is the kingship. God manifesting himself as king, as ruler in this world. And this kingship comes through victory. Victory over all the powers of evil. So Jesus is telling that God has won the victory. Something we have already seen in our last meditation. From Babylon, the Lord is leading the exiles back to Jerusalem. So now Jesus is telling the kingdom of God is right here now. Open your eyes and you can see it. The rays of the coming of the kingdom. The power of God, the lordship of God is bursting into the scene of the world. So the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. So you have to believe in this. From this realization, from this premise, Jesus makes the next invitation. And there are two invitations. First, repent. Metanoiete is the Greek word. Metanoia, the change. A change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of life. It's not being sorry for what you have done wrong. It's not only shedding tears of repentance. It's something more. Of course, you have to renounce your sinful past. You have to be sorry for what you have done wrong. But there is more to it. It's not being sufficient to be sorry. What is important is not the sorrow for what you have done wrong, but your attitude, your decision to change your life. When you realize that you have been doing something wrong, you have to stop it. If you know you have boarded the wrong bus, no amount of shedding tears will help you to reach your destination unless and until you get down from the bus, wrong bus, get into the right one and ride along. So metanoia is change of heart, a change of life, a change of attitudes, a change of values, a change of vision of life. So Jesus is asking, change your lives. Change your life in the presence, in the view of the presence of the kingdom. The time is ripe now. There is no more time to wait. That there is no need for waiting anymore. It is here. Open your eyes, open your heart, and you see the rays of the rising sun. Open your heart and you will receive the forgiving card. So change your life. Metanoiete. Change your attitudes. Change your vision. A new heart, a new life is demanded. So what comes first is God's offer of salvation, not our repentance. We repent, we believe in the light of what is present. So God takes the initiative. God is entering into your life. God is knocking at your door of your heart. If you want, you can open. And if you open, he will come in. And the fourth word is believe in the good news. A faith is not only a kind of intellectual assent to certain sets of truths. It's not enough to assent intellectually, say, okay, I believe in God. I believe in one God. It is well and good, but that's not sufficient. A belief, a faith that is active, is a surrender to the person in whom you believe. Believe in God or believe in the good news means make this your own. Make your life a part of this good news. Accept the one who proclaims the good news. Jesus is the one who brings the good news. Or Jesus himself is the good news. Good news is God is accepting you as yours, as his son or daughter. You are no more a slave. You are no more a criminal. You are a child of God. Believe it. Accept the fatherhood of God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is proclaiming this to you. And the very person of Jesus is this good news. It is through him, the God made man, or the God who has become man, God, the Word that took flesh, it is through him that we have access to God, to his sonship. So believe, surrender your life to his will. Believe in the good news. So this is how Mark presents the initial talk, the proclamation of Jesus. The same message is presented by Matthew in still shorter form. In Matthew 4, verse 17b, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So the kingdom is present, so change your life. That's what Matthew also says, simplifying, putting in more concise terms the proclamation reported in Mark. The same truth is presented in an episode, a programmatic or paradigmatic episode in the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 30, presents the first appearance of Jesus in public. And that is presented as a program where Jesus declares his manifesto, so to say. When Jesus comes to Nazareth, he reads from the prophet and makes a declaration. And as a response to this declaration, there is a reaction taking place in the synagogue, which finally leads to mutual rejection. So what Mark and Matthew presented in one or two short phrases, Luke has developed into a programmatic episode, and you can read it at your leisure. I'll point out only a few events, incidents, or a few important points from this Nazareth episode. Jesus comes to Nazareth, where he grew up. And there, as usual, he goes to the synagogue. And at the synagogue service on the Sabbath, he is presented with the book for reading. And the book is that of Isaiah. Opening the book, he sees this passage in Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this is being read from the book, and then everybody is fixing their eyes on Jesus. And in verse 21 it is said, then he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That is the first part of the episode. Jesus declares as the one who had been awaited. The prophet had spoken about the eschatological prophet, the one who would bring to fulfillment all the prophecies. And specifically Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is taken up here and read. And reading is followed by a statement. Today, in your hearing, the scripture is fulfilled. So Jesus presents himself as the one who is to bring the good news. And if you analyze closely this quotation, you see a number of things. It starts with a mention of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus claims, because he has anointed me. And from historical point of view, we see Jesus was anointed by the Spirit at Jordan during the baptism. And now, why did the Spirit anoint Jesus? Or why did God anoint Jesus by giving the Spirit? Five verbs are given. First, to bring the good news to the poor. Then second, proclaim release to the captives. Third, recovery of sight to the blind. And to let the oppressed go free. And finally, proclaim the year of Lord's favor. If you write this in five parallel lines, at the center you will see one thing. The center is recovery of sight to the blind. Giving sight to the blind is a central mission of Jesus. And you have another important discovery to make. The word freedom or liberation is repeated twice. Give release to the captives and let the oppressed go free. The liberative activity of Jesus is focused on giving vision, sight to the blind, a new vision of life. And this is presented as the good news to the poor at the beginning and is summarized as a year of God's favor. So Jesus is sent to proclaim the good news. And who are the recipients of this good news? They are called the poor. And this good news is presented as liberation from oppression, as sight from darkness, light from darkness, And finally, this is presented as the year of God's favor in terms of a jubilee year. The people of Israel, the Jews, knew exactly what the year of God's favor was. Every 50th year was celebrated as a jubilee year, where all the debts were released, where all the captives were set free, where the land was returned to the original owner, when the equality is re-established on the society, where all injustices were wiped out, where all oppression ceased. So Jesus proclaims this year of liberation, the good news, the year of God's favor, the jubilee year. So this is how Luke presents the beginning of Jesus' proclamation. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. So today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, Jesus says. And there is a contrast between the eyes that the people in the synagogue fix on Jesus and the hearing or the ear in which the fulfillment takes place. By this contrast, Luke is telling us that Jesus' proclamation has to be accepted in faith. Believe and all this will be yours. Refuse to believe and you will not get this freedom from oppression. Jesus is calling the people to faith, whereas the people want to see something, miracle. That's how they fix their eyes on Jesus. Now, in the second part, there is a kind of turning over of the whole situation. The first part, chapter 4, 16 to 21, is presenting the fulfillment of Jesus, or fulfillment in Nazareth. And second part deals with the rejection. First, Jesus reveals himself as the one who brings to fulfillment. The second part deals with rejection. And the rejection is coming from the lack of faith. In verse 22, it is said, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So the gracious words is rather the words of grace. Jesus was proclaiming the year of God's grace, and they were all amazed at this. And now the question comes, is he not Joseph's son? And that is the turning point. Of course, he is Joseph's son, but he is more. As already said, Jesus began his ministry being thought of as the son of Joseph, but in reality, Jesus was God's son. The people of Nazareth did not realize that this was God's son sent to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, they want their miracles. They are asking for miracles, and Jesus is interpreting their intentions. And there is a conflict starting. Jesus would say, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's own hometown. And then he goes on to say how Elijah was sent to the Gentiles, as also Elisha, saying that the prophet who was sent will not be a source of grace or profit for Israel, but he was rejected by Israel and he will be accepted by the Gentiles. In a similar way, Jesus came to Israel, his hometown, Nazareth, but he was rejected there and he will be accepted in foreign town, Capernaum, and by the Gentiles. In a nutshell, Luke is presenting before us the ministry of Jesus, who came to Israel, but he was rejected by Israel, was accepted by the Gentiles. Jesus, his apostles, his word, his church was all addressed to the people. And those who are willing to obey, willing to believe and accept, will be liberated. If not, they'll be rejected. So the Nazareth episode brings a kind of paradigm, a program of Jesus' liberative activity. And we thank God for this proclamation of good news. Let's conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, anointed by the Spirit, to proclaim the good news to us poor. Enable us to open our eyes and open our hearts to your good news and be liberated from all evil that oppresses. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.